Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and we have a great show lined up for you guys tonight. It's going to be really interesting because it's, you know, it's so funny. Before I got into radio, I've always been one to talk on the phone and chat about life and whatever's being handed to me, and for hours, I mean for decades and for hours I could do this. And tonight the show is actually one of my dreams that, you know, me and my newfound friend Kimberly, we've already proven we can talk for hours on the phone. It's fabulous. But I feel like, you know, I welcome you guys to call in, but it's going to be great because I really feel like there's so much to be garnished. If people just, you know, could listen in on conversations of, you know, people just sharing about their lives and what they've gone through and how they've come through, you know, walking the dark path, you know, at points in their life and the high road at other points. So I'm really excited about tonight's show. Now, before I introduce Kimberly and we start this wonderful conversation, I did want to share with you some, like, really interesting things. All right, first of all, I don't know how many people are aware of it, but we are getting blasted with solar flares. I think, actually, there was, like, 3 days in a row where there are different levels, but the last one that we got was, like, a solar flare level right below the most powerful solar flare level. Now, it's so funny because, you know, I haven't really had that much trouble with my technology, my physical technology, but, oh, my God, I don't know about you guys. I am, all right, let's see, last night I took a 2.5-hour nap from 7 to 9:30 and then went back to sleep at 11 and slept until 7:30 this morning. So, It's really working on my physical being, the information, the frequencies, the vibration, however this works. And I've been speaking to friends of mine, a good friend of mine, Janine Kimmel. She was also really tired. And what I want everybody to know is, you know, go with it. If your schedule allows you to, sleep and sleep and sleep some more, rest. Today I was going to actually chill, but the temperature was so perfect for a day in the woods, so I spent a couple of hours in the woods, and then I came home and napped. I mean, it's like so crazy. So I really want you guys to know that, you know, to be in sync with what's happening with the planet, this is the organic ascension. When things are, you know, pummeling at us from the sky and there's changes going on the planet herself, it's really the macrocosm to the microcosm. That means things are pummeling within us and changing within us. Super important to allow the body to take the lead and tell us what's going on, as opposed to saying, no, I'll sleep later. I'm gonna trudge through this. I'm gonna work through this. I really highly recommend you listen to your body, because so much you can to go out of tilt. With certain things like this, I think will be bigger than if you just take a few hours off or even a couple of days off to allow your body to assimilate the energies that are coming in, because that's pretty much, they're coming from the sun. I mean, the things that I'm reading and just feeling, this ascension is coming through the sun. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. And don't be angry at your body because it's tired. Because it was funny, my father was going, I feel so lazy lately. Now, I know that many of us, you know, use the word lazy when we're quote-unquote not quote-unquote doing something. It's not lazy at all. It's very much being in sync with what's happening, and it's time to do the inner work. You know, you can always, you know, listen to something, or I've had a few creative ideas that I'm really excited about. In fact, it was interesting because this morning when I did wake up, I felt very good. I mean, I just felt alive. And I booked a new show, and I'm going to be on Peter Coyote's new radio show, and it just seemed like it just went bam, 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 and these things just got created very effortlessly, totally enjoy. It's really living in the moment, living in the flow. So that's my share. And, well, there'll be plenty of shares happening tonight. I'm really excited about tonight. So we're going to introduce my lovely, lovely guest tonight. This is the first time she's going to be on the show. I don't have her bio in front of me. God bless the new Blog Talk Radio setup. But her name is, I don't want to blow this. Kimberly Yeager?
Yay!
Yeah! Okay. And the way I knew that is like, it's spelled like Jägermeister.
You got it.
It is. It's a drink. Exactly. I used to drink that.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, these were many days ago. many years ago. Anyways, so Kimberly is fantastic. She's been in radio for 35 years. She works at CBS. The way me and Kimberly came into connection is Kimberly is hosting George Kavassalis to come to America, which Chicago and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So we met through George. So we, you know, and we clearly both, you know, just adore him and the message. And then for the last couple of days, we've been chatting, and we have a lot in common. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your world to come into my world.
My pleasure, and it's been so fascinating meeting new friends like you, and I, you know, what a ride!
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, it is a wild ride. So, all right, before we, a natural flow will happen, but I definitely want to, I've got the promoter of George on the air with me, so let's promote George, because God bless, I'm very much want to be a part of, you know, bringing the word to this country that George is coming to the U.S.
Okay, so have you presented George to your audience prior to now?
Last week I did.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to interview you for a minute because that's what I've been doing for a long
time. Okay,
So, it's your show, so how do you define George? Who is he to you?
How
and then I'll share my...
Oh, okay, you want to do it that way? Okay, I see. All right,
yeah.
Well... thank you. That's actually, all right, this is who George Kavassalis is to me. He is my subconscious talking to me because the amount of aha moments I have had since I began listening to George's messages, and I've listened to, I believe, all of them, even though he's constantly updating, which I so appreciate because I'm listening to him often. And the aha moments I'm getting are, you know, wisdom about myself. You know, it's, and I say it's a wisdom because it doesn't come into me as a knowledge in my head. When he speaks about certain galactic experiences, when he speaks about the ascension process and the organicness and being connected to Earth, it's like every cell in my body hums with a resonance to what he's saying. And, you know, I it's interesting because I often have in my life a teacher that I'm working with, and he is the first teacher that I'm working with that I'm not, like, he's not teaching me how to ascend. He is showing me I already am in the process of ascension. It's not a linear thing that I have to get to. It's not, okay, well, I gotta do these downloads and create a Merkaba. It's nothing like that. It's really a very peaceful, knowing, confident space that you know, in a way, George helps me make sense of my entire life. And that's pretty amazing considering he lives across the planet in Australia. I've never met the man. This is strictly from interviews where people...
And you've never even spoken to him. Correct. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, and that's something that you just can't, you just can't, you know, flick it off. It's like there's something to this universal message. And it's an interesting journey because every teacher that I've had prior to this, I have felt was a universal teacher, but they were coming from different spaces because I never, like, Almeen is an amazing, what I consider an amazing master teacher.
Yes, I agree.
But the information she would share with me about the multi-dimensions, I didn't personally have the experiences she did. So it was always about, okay, I'm going to trust Almeen to be telling me the truth, and then I'll follow her instruction to potentially open up my world that I can communicate in the angel realms, in the fairy realms, and so forth. Where George, well, first of all, I have been contacted by extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
I have had, so I think part of that is, I mean, that's George's message, that he's been abducted pretty much his entire life, and from malevolent and benevolent.
Correct.
And so, you know, I think immediately George is speaking, quote-unquote, somewhat of a language that not many people are speaking of. But, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people, like he talks about with the Ashtar Command and, you know, those other galactic organizations, for lack of a better word. But George's message is very much, I'm going to say, an independent message of those organizations. And it resonates in a space that I don't even know how to put it into words. It really speaks to my soul and my heart, not to my mind and not to a space where I have to get somewhere, which I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
So
I just want to interject really quickly because
please,
to me, I would say that I think the most important piece of the message that George reminds us of is it comes from within. Our peace comes from within. Our love comes from in. And if we are looking outside to fill our peace or fill our love, we are missing, you know, we're not exactly where we could be best. That's what I'll say it that way. And
okay.
And so it's in a nutshell, you know, in a pinpoint, that's what I would say. You know, all the experiences, we all have our stories. You know?
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, I have my stories of abuse by my mother, and he has his stories of abuse by malevolent entities off planet. But whatever, they were all experiences that were helping us to wake up and to remember who we are and our power, and that it does, and that it comes from inside. What do you say about that?
First of all, I absolutely agree, but I want to make one specification because it really is a subtle but major difference. Many of the teachers will tell you it's about coming from inside,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes to doing meditations, they'll tell you to open up your crown and start bringing in the white light or start bringing in the violet flame from Saint Germain or start bringing in the ascended masters. George clearly states in all of his messages, stop bringing in the light from outside in and start bringing the light from within out.
That's exactly what I'm specifying.
Right.
That is exactly what, you know, some of the core of religious and other masters have said. That's actually what they've been saying from the get-go. But, you know,
right.
You know, it's all been misinterpreted or whatever. So, anyway, so yes, perfect.
Right. And the reason why I say that is because I've had teachers before this, I mean, that they, and what I want, the reason why I'm bringing this up, you know, so you know, to dissect that detail, is because I want the listeners to know, if you start hearing a teacher, a messenger, a channeler, whoever, an author, whoever,
mm-hmm.
if they're saying all the right words, but when it comes down to creating, like when I was creating my Merkabah, I was sending my my symbol, which was a six-pointed star, outside of me to a 12th-dimensional hub.
Okay,
that is outside of me. That is because I'm starting to realize the 12th dimension is within me. I should have been sending it inside me to build, because that's the thing about these, what I'm going to go as far to say is these false light ascension teachers,
mm-hmm.
that they take the truth and right at the end, in the very subtlest of ways, they tweak it so it's not what it appears to be. It's a false sense of light, and it's very simple. Anything that is to any meditation or creation of energy that is telling you to bring something into you, to ascend, to become, is false. It is not the organic way, because the organic way is it's already inside of us. And the way George puts it is he actually was taking his hands and I guess etherically pulling his light out.
Right.
You know, I almost was going to play. Go ahead.
I'm just going to clarify one thing. You said about, you know, ascending. Anyway, ascending comes from within. It's about becoming lighter and less dense. It's about, you know, the dark is not wrong, but the light is stronger than the dark, essentially. It's like the dark is not wrong, but ascension is about becoming lighter and lighter and lighter and shedding that no longer serves us internally. No, it's all about within. And,
right.
And as far as meditation, I'm not one who's ever been able to. I've tried in my lifetime. It's like to sit there and like bring in the light and this and that. But I learned to make the switch also, and
right.
ultimately it's for me to shine it out. We are shining light. We are match bearers. You know, it comes from within, and when it goes out, that's how we affect those around us, and that's actually the best that we can do.
Well, and it's so, it is who we are. Once we recognize that we are every color of the spectrum, it's not about not playing with the violet flame. Just find the violet flame from within, as opposed to having Saint Germain. Don't call in Saint Germain's violet flame. Call in self's violet flame.
Right. And as much as I, you know, had major issues with Christianity, I was put into a position early in my life, as a teenager, in fundamentalist Christian religion, having moved from Episcopalian, which I call mediocre, and moving into Christianity in a more fundamentalist value. And I was actually able to sit there and glean the depth of the truth. And the depth of the truth is that, you know, I'm pretty sure that you would agree that Jesus is a representation of an ascended master, and that's what his, you know, his ascension, his resurrection. It was about his resurrection, not about his crucifixion. It's the resurrection part that he was trying to show us, that we were able to do the same thing.
Right.
You know, and so when he says everything I can do, you can do and more, he was saying we're just, you know, we're equal or even better than him. That was the word.
Right.
You know, it's not like
word
he's
up.
Better than us. Like he was
right.
saying, you can do more than I've done. You
right.
know, I mean, and I'm sitting there saying,
well, he said, I think you will do. Well, I don't even have me quote the Bible. See, it's tough when people bring up, you know, icons like Jesus, because I believe the man himself and the story we get from the church, you know, if I had the ability to actually see this gentleman's lifetime, I have a feeling it would be, you know, a completely different scenario than what they've represented.
Are you going to agree that the core of the message was that he was stating that he was a son of God and so were all of us. And therefore, from a young age for me, I was saying we are all creators. I understood that at a really young age, and I was told that it was blasphemy. But that's not what he was saying. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just using that as an example. But then we can go to Buddha, we can go to Muhammad, and we can go to, you know, we can go to others too.
Right.
And they were actually, the core of the message was that we are creator gods. You know, we are sparks of it. It's not that we're lesser or more, but we are part of the whole, you know, and we're all on different levels of that path of evolving.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I was raised Jewish, so I didn't even really have much teaching. Right. I only know what I got from Unity.
What about the Ark of the Covenant?
Okay. Okay. What about the Ark of the Covenant? You know, I know it was some kind of box that if anybody touched it but the priest, they would die. And I guess ultimately, you know, what I'm learning, you know, I guess it had a frequency that it was holding, like our whole soul couldn't come into our physical body, and the parts that of our soul that couldn't come in was essentially kept in the box. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's fact or not. Or
we're diversing. Okay, let's go back to George.
Okay, exactly. Right on. Right. See, I told everybody this is just going to be a kooky conversation. It's fun, though. It's fun. And also, listen, if anybody wants to share a thought, have a question, 646-929-2084. Would love to hear from you. And interrupt. Don't be afraid to interrupt. If you guys call, no matter where me and Kimberly are in the conversation, I will take the call because you guys are important to me. So feel free. Feel free. I know I've heard people say, Goldie, I don't know how to interrupt you. Oh, just call, and I'll stop talking and you know, and bring you in.
Ditto.
It's all good. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, right? We're in radio. We love that. go ahead. You first.
Okay, so I would like to interject at this point that I learned of George probably in 2007. He had one video that was playing on Google Video that he had actually recorded in 2004. And I had watched it a couple of times, and he had his website, which was georgekavassalis.org, and he had that listed there, and he had a couple of, you know, it was like a one-page website, you know, with a couple of links.
Right.
And he said that, you know, he wasn't on the computer much, and that he, you know, only checked in, you know, a couple times a month because he had to go to the library. But he had this one video, which is still on his website. You can go to georgekavassalis.org and find the 2004 video. I'm not remembering the name of it. But anyway, so that was it, and that was there, and I kind of came to that. Well, there were some things going on in the fall of 2008, and I wrote him an email, and it took him a couple of weeks to respond, as he hasn't had noted on his website. You know, he wasn't there. And so he responded to my question. And essentially it was a question about, I don't know if you remember, but it was October 14th, 2008, that Blossom Goodchild had put out this thing that was like sweeping those of us who were into this stuff, internet, that, you know, this ship was going to come down, da-da-da-da. And anyway, and so I wrote to him.
Wait,
and
who Blossom Goodchild?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
She's a channel. She's a channel.
Oh, okay.
But there
I wasn't aware of that part.
Hundreds and hundreds of videos going around about this.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to make that part of it because that's like now history. And
okay.
So I asked him about that. And essentially, it was about disclosure and, you know, people, you know, showing themselves. And he said at that time he just didn't think that, you know, the planet was ready for that yet, essentially. You know, there was more to it. And so I never told him who I was. I never told him what I did. It was just, you know, a person-to-person question. So several months went by. And I wrote him again for some reason, and I found out he was going to be doing a talk, and he was going to be recording it in Australia.
Okay.
And so I'm a promoter, and I have a small production company, and I do audio, and I do video, and I was on YouTube. YouTube was my first social network going back several years ago. And so I wrote back to him, and I offered to help him get that together and put it on YouTube.
Thank you, Kimberly.
So he put up, and it wasn't like I did it, but it was like I got in touch with other people because he was not technically savvy. He didn't even have his own computer.
Right. Well, listen, the man's been dealing with ETs. I think we can ground him a little in this. We can certainly help him out there.
Anyway, so let me just back up one step. I just had this friend connection with this man. It was just like I could feel his sensitivity, and I also was really intrigued because I knew that he was not on the internet and researching and going around like I was. I mean, he didn't have that same kind of connection.
Right.
So anyway, so he posted in October of 2008 a video which is titled "The Divine Feminine in Our Journey." And anyway, so with some direction and help from me, and we found somebody else who was local who had the equipment, and we went back and forth. So that was posted. So then, but he still was very offline. And so that's 2008, fall of 2008. It wasn't until a year ago, August of 2010, that I finally did my first interview with him, because he didn't have the technology, and we had been actually talking on Skype from time to time, but the way my technology was set up is that I couldn't record a phone conversation with Skype to Skype at that point. I can now, and I may have been able to then, but I just didn't know how. So anyway, so it wasn't until actually a year ago, August, which is actually amazing me, that...
Wait, we lost you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. And anyway, so... And there was one person, I think, who beat me to the punch. Like 2 days earlier. You know, 2 days earlier. It was actually August 12th, 2010, that I did the first interview. And then from there, others came in. You know, Carrot Cassidy came in, and Henrik came in.
Oh, he's gone viral.
And,
I mean, he's on coast to coast.
And so he had one video that was there in 2004. Then he posted another one in 2008. And it wasn't until 2000, and he did another video in 2009, but it wasn't until August, a year ago, that people started saying, "Oh, I want to talk to this guy." You know, and since then, you know, Coast to Coast and da-da-da, you know, and Red Ice Radio, and it's just...
Yeah, Lisa, the woman from Australia.
It's been fascinating to watch. And ultimately, and I just want to say this and then I'll be quiet, is that I never looked to George as a guru. He was a friend, and he was also, in the work that I do, he was also someone who was not influenced by outside information because he wasn't there. He didn't even have a computer.
Right.
That's what fascinated me. And so we had personal conversations prior to 2010 several times, where I was asking him a lot of questions because I just loved his perspective, not being influenced by the multiple perspectives that I have been exposed to.
Right,
so anyway,
right.
So that's the story.
Okay, the only thing I want the listeners to know, and this is because, I mean, my loyal listeners know that, you know, when I fall into a teacher, you know, I fall deep, you know, I'm completely immersed. The video, the YouTube video from 2004, just so you know, in George's story, if that's the first one you watch,
yes,
that is not a accurate is not an accurate representation of George now. And the reason is, when George has been, you know, dealing with ETs and aliens and whatever, all these beings his entire life, but at one point he was assimilated into the Galactic Federation. Now, here's what makes George, in my personal opinion, not only authentic, just truly brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He gets assimilated. He does, you know, a four-hour audio based on the belief systems and the hierarchy systems of the Galactic Federation. Then, through his own wisdom and his own inherent within beingness, realizes that he's been mind-controlled, that he's been manipulated, comes back in, like, 2007 and says, "Okay, listen, guys, I was wrong. That is not the highest truth, but it was my truth at the moment. Now I've come through it. Now my message is, you know, beware of this because this is what happened to me. You know, I'm such a fan of someone that can, you know, literally say, listen, I've walked the dark night of the soul. I've got through it, and here's what I've learned. He's brilliant. So what I did is I listened to several of his other videos, and then just the other day I was like, okay, I want to check out the 2004 video.
Okay. Yep.
And I did, and, you know, I can definitely see the difference in,
oh, yes,
in George's messages. And I couldn't even watch the whole thing because, I, you know, nobody wants to watch somebody, you know, when they're being manipulated. You want to watch somebody in their sovereignty. George is absolutely a sovereign being. He's not pushing his message on anybody. He says, take what resonates, leave the rest. I can't wait to see him. I mean, Kimberly, thank you so much for hosting him in Boston. I personally can't wait to see him because I want to feel the energy of not only George's presence, but George's wife will be there, Kimberly will be there, and the whole room of people that are essentially, I would imagine he draws, you know, a large audience of contactees, some people that have been contacted.
That's a good point.
And for me, you know, I have not had the experiences George's have, but I've been on a spaceship. I've had certain experiences, which I'm going to talk to him about that I don't even understand totally, and I'm hoping he might be able to shed some light on it. But also, you know, being in the audience with the people. And another thing that George is so brilliant, he's had all this ET experiences, and his message is so clearly, we have forgotten the Divine Mother, and it is time to connect to the Divine Mother, the Earth herself. And he's so genuinely, you can feel his dedication to bringing her reverence and respect and honor, and how he feels the pain. He speaks of Earth as a woman. Physically, we're living on this woman's body. He's such a man, a Renaissance man, in that he's emotional, he's sensitive, he's not ashamed of that. And, you know, for all of us that are out there, you know, doing our, at the beach all the time, or in the woods, or connecting with nature through our gardens, or however we're connecting with nature, you'll feel what he'll speak to you in your cells, that your cells are speaking to with Mother Earth. It'll just be like, yeah, that feels so comforting. And so, for me, it's just the truth of what is going on in a planet that at this particular time is bombarding us with bullshit. I mean, to be quite, it's the inherent plan of this small cabal of ETs. The intention is to confuse us, to create fear, to keep us in chaos. And it just so happens this small group, you know, owns the medias, you know, has a lot of power. So it's not taking a big group to do this, but boy, the small group that's doing it has a big influence, you know, on things like TV, radio. That's why, you know, me and Kimberly were speaking the other night. The true message of Rupert Murdoch going down is, I really believe, a testimony that the divine feminine is starting to stand up and go, stop. Okay, enough is enough. The truth, it's time for the truth. And, you know, being in media, both me and Kimberly, we're pretty excited that, you know, that the media actually might start opening up to wanting to be positive influence. And, I mean, imagine what TV could do if it was actually designed to support the inner being and support the spiritual awakening and the camaraderie of humans and elements and animals and Earth. You know, I mean, instead of the Super Bowl getting, you know, all the money,
right,
we could be making, you know, water wells throughout Africa. You know what I mean? It's like once it gets out of this small controlling factor, boy, it's beyond astronomical what we can do as a positive experience with the technology that's already here.
Correct.
Boy, I get passionate about this, so don't I get all fired up. So I wanted to share that about the 2004 video. I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah, and I would
somebody
like to go back there too, because that
please,
was my first
please
introduction. But I'm going to say that there were elements of that were fascinating to me, because they were talking about galactic history, and they were telling me things that I hadn't read in my history books, essentially. Perhaps,
indeed,
just like the Bible, there was misinformation. Just like in George's 2004 talk, there was misinformation. And he even currently admits he may still have misinformation. And I'm going to say, I may have disinformation also. You know, it's
right,
like I do not have all the answers. I have a couple of them. And ultimately, I know I don't have any of them. But that's
right,
the journey. I mean, that's the journey. That's the fun. That's the game. That's the, you know, and so ultimately we need to discern for ourselves, you know, because what works for me may not work for you, Goldie. I mean, or
right.
Or
no, absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, and that's okay, because there isn't necessarily, there are some things that I think are, you know, the right way, but I think that there are multiple things that have, you know, infinite possibilities, and they're not about right or wrong. They're just about the
right
infinite possibilities that infinity presents to us and gives us to play with.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, because I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said. Because, you know, I'm the kind of person, you know, 3 weeks ago, you know, I was headfirst diving in and promoting the Lisa Renee work. I love Lisa Renee as a human being, but I, you know, here I stand and go, okay, that is, now that I have more information and more awareness, it's not even just information, it's an awareness, I'm no longer promoting that, because I feel it's a false ascension line. It in other words, if my mind is creating it, that's not natural. It's natural when it comes through my body and I experience it. It's not natural for my mind to take numbers and start constructing light bodies. It's not that it can't be done. It's just not natural. It essentially creates an artificial light body, which means from what I know, you can only go to the fourth dimension in an artificial light body, because there's this huge void between the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension, for the purpose that the duality that's created in the fourth dimension and below doesn't get and contaminate the fifth dimension. So
yeah, there's a big shift between fourth and fifth, I believe. I think
huge
third, fourth,
shift.
Are,
yes.
You know, we're currently living in third and fourth, but the fifth dimension is a jump. It's a jump of. I believe it moves beyond struggle, and it moves beyond
beyond
conflict,
healing,
and beyond control. I think that's the
right
shift there. Yeah.
Right. Well, just so you know, too, I'm realizing, like, 2 years ago, I essentially stopped saying that I got sick. Anytime my body was. So what I'm starting to, now that was one of my ahas from George.
Mm-hmm.
When I did that, now that doesn't mean my body doesn't go through, you know, shifts and changes, and, you know, it's not that I'm not experiencing things in my body, but because I no longer declare myself as sick, something that needs to be healed, I recognize now that that aspect of me is fifth dimensional, because fifth dimension is when nothing, you don't need healers. I don't go to healers. Even though I was playing with DNA work with a friend of mine. But right, and this is what I'm starting to figure out. It's not everything is heal yourself. Anything beyond heal yourself. I wrote this on a Facebook thing today. All healing except for self-healing is for entertainment purposes only. which I'm sure I probably upset
nice
a few healers.
Support. Yeah, but it's nice to have
support. Well, and so, agreed. But the thing is, when we're teaching that, it's actually healing from our mind. And I don't want to, not the healing so much as I was trying to accelerate my ascension through my mind by creating Merkabahs and spinning it this way and calling in certain colors of light and spinning them that way. And the truth of it is, I've had experiences. I've had experiences where I've never called in anything. Though that's my soul's natural timeline for me to ascend. And all of our souls have us on a natural timeline. It's not something we need to do. It's something we need to prepare ourselves for, because now that I know I'm ascending, I don't think my body's getting sick and run to the doctor and put myself on a prescription. When my body gets out of balance or feels, you know, uncomfortable, I drink water, I get fresh air, I put myself in the woods. You know what I'm saying? I take care of myself from the perspective that I'm ascending, not the perspective that I did something wrong, I need to fix it. Because I don't believe I did something. You know, I'm doing it right. I'm ascending. That's what I want to have happen. And that's a good thing. And, you know, so the healers definitely do play a part. But I think it's a matter of, again, that subtlety. You know, if you're going to a healer going, heal me, you're giving your power away.
Correct. I agree 100%.
You know, yeah. It's all about self-empowerment.
Yeah. So versus, I could go off in so many levels here, but let me just go to the current place. I was reminded there was actually a really good interview that Lilu Mace did recently with Wayne Dyer.
Hold that thought. We got a caller, love. We got a caller.
Great. Perfect.
And I just want to, okay.
Yep.
Hi, you must be on Skype, but you're on the air live. Welcome.
Hey,
hello.
It's Trisha.
Oh.
But actually, honey, I was just listening.
I see that you didn't put the hand up. I get that. okay, thank you, Trisha. I will put you on mute.
No. Wait a minute. Are you there?
Okay. I am.
One of the things that I've listened to George too, and hi, Kimberly. It's lovely to meet you. Goldie knows me, Trisha Kelly.
Yes.
And I've had a lot of those different experiences and all sorts of things and meditations and orbs and you name it, I've experienced it. But one of the things that when I first listened to George, right, and I know because Goldie, you were just talking about basically the law of attraction, what you put your attention to, you create.
Yes.
And one of the things that after I listened to George, I had a conversation with someone who actually interviewed them, and I said, the thing is that when people backtrack on their conscious evolution from whatever level it is, from child or these experiences, you have to understand the consciousness of where they are to attract what they attract.
Right.
Because nobody attracts anything into their vibrational space if you're dwelling in a negative energy yourself with conflict in your own life, you will reach into those astral realms and connect with that vibration, whatever
Absolutely.
It is. And,
I agree.
And so when you go into the benevolent, and he was talking one day, you see, this is the danger of people that live repeating bad stories about experiences.
Yes.
And I hope somebody tells George this, it's very important. Because he spoke one day, and he said people in the audience feel energy around, like
right.
even dark energy around, because he's talking about dark energy astrals. You've got to bring them back into the space, because the moment you have an experience in the past and you bring it into the present, it's no longer in the past, because the vibrational energy that you're living is in the present. You're vibrating
right.
that energy in that second. That's
I
why
agree.
You can never talk about cancer. You can't say, I had cancer, it was this, all these bad stories, because you're manifesting the cancer cells that second that you're talking about the cancer cells. So,
I got to interrupt for a second, though. I got to interrupt only because there is a level of integration that
when
you've integrated the dark into yourself, there is a freedom to speak of it because the charge is no longer there.
Yes, but you've got to be very careful because you bring in that energy. It's like the open portal. You never meditate if you're in a really bad space because you're going to bring that vibrational energy in. Once you've opened your portals and you're in that vibrational energy, that portal is open to everything. And I had a really interesting conversation with Bobby G about some experiences that they're on the air and everything about different things. And one of the things that she said that was really interesting was that, you know, a chair is not a chair until somebody's created a chair and then they create the chair from that vision of a chair. And so when you start working with, I want to pull in galactics, or I want to talk to this energy, I want to tap into that, I want to, you know, visit spaceships, or because people are intrigued by this. This is really powerful
stuff.
Most definitely. And they want to do George's trip and journey as well. But you've got to make sure that you have a really clear portal that you're pulling in. You know, that you're traveling in. And anyway,
well,
I just wanted to...
No, I appreciate that. To be quite honest, though, I believe the portal that we're... If we're pulling it in from our minds, you're never going to leave the fourth dimension anyway. In other words, George said in his interviews, he didn't ask for it. It just was his soul's journey to experience these things.
So if we're
pulling it in, we've already created artificial soul. That's not soul. Because we're in, the mind cannot get this for us. But we're
in that moment every second of every right now, right in this very moment. We're in the second where we can go this way or that way. You know, like
I agree. But through awareness, we might want to not just go anywhere, but actually just be still and go within.
Well, you see, when I meditate, I don't know how anybody else does it. I just know when I go into a space, it's almost like I can feel almost like a channel changed. I just go, in a different portal. I'm in a different space. And then, you know, movies appear, pictures appear. I mean, lots of different things, you know, have been in that space. But it's just that click, you know, you get to that place where you can just make that transition very quickly. And a lot of people are sitting on the fence going, well, how do I get to it? But it just, like George was saying, you know, he just went into those spaces. I mean, and I didn't have all the galactic things that he did, believe me, you know.
Nor did I.
Yeah. I've had them since, but not as a child. I did have experiences as a child that were very powerful. You know, I pulled in a spirit once telling it to make a candle grow light, and the light bulb in the kitchen completely exploded. You know, like, there was only the metal left. We were 14 doing a seance, thinking that we were really like with little witchy boards, you know, like, spirit, make the candle grow lighter. Make the light grow brighter, make the light grow bright. That's what we were saying, and boom, it exploded.
Be conscious of those Ouija boards, people.
It's a matter of the creators that we are.
It's not the Ouija board. It's pulling in the energy. It's not knowing what you're dealing with in those realms. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's all.
I agree with that. And that's partially, even though, I mean, like, I have been on the journey calling in what I've desired due to my lack of patience. I mean, when I worked with Almeen, when I was working with Crimson Circle, not so much Crimson Circle. Crimson Circle was definitely much more just information, and then I would do with it what I did. But,
I know you through Goddess Sophia. That's how I...
And I worked with Goddess Sophia as well. I mean, it seemed like I'm always looking to fast-track myself. And the wisdom that George brought to me was, first of all, the fast-track is an artificial one. You cannot speed up a natural, organic experience. It's not going to happen until it wants to happen or until the soul determines it. So that doesn't mean I won't have experiences. but it will be of the mental fourth dimension. It will not necessarily be of the 12th dimension, even if in that mental dimension it tells me, oh, you're in the 12th right now. It's like, no, I'm in the 12th of the 4th. I'm not in the actual 12th, because you can't get to the full divine blueprint until it's organic. It cannot be done artificially. It cannot
But you see, the thing is, this whole planet is not vibrating on that frequency anyway. So that's why you can only meet it in that meditative state. You know, it's not like I'm walking around. I mean, last night I was doing my meditation. I didn't see anybody, but this man said very loud, Tricia Kelly, like this to me. And I went, oh, okay, somebody's talking to me. And then, like you were talking about passing out from, I just passed out for 2.5 hours, and I woke up like at about 2 o'clock, and I never really passed out that deep, and I didn't know where I was when I came back. It was sort of like,
wow,
I had to look at the clock and think, is this daylight? Am I in the, is this morning? I mean, where am I? I was on the couch, but it took me a while, and I knew I'd been taken, I'd left. There's a lot of programming that goes on, and that vibrational energy. Elevating you and the work that you've done. But, you know, the other thing is that you're saying about healing. The only time I ever listened to a doctor, and I've never had insurance ever. I don't believe in that. If you have medical insurance, you're living in the fear that you can't heal yourself, and I've never had it. But when I got pregnant, I went to a doctor, and, boy, they changed my diet. Do this, do that. You're low in iron. Do this, do that. They put me on this regimen that my system was so screwed up. I ended up in hospital sicker than I'd ever been. I thought everything, I was so bad. I had to be flown back to New Zealand, and they said that I had all of this intestinal problem and bowel problem. Everything came straight out of me. I had IVs in two arms. It's the only reason that the baby was growing perfectly. She was getting everything. And I came home, and I sat with my mother, and I said, I can't do this. I am not taking all these pills. I have these bottles of pills that they gave me, right? I went to the toilet, flushed everything down the toilet, and said, I will never take another pill. And the next morning, I woke up perfect.
Oh, and wow. Nice.
It was as quick as that. And the other thing that happened recently was I hurt my back twisting it. I did this stupid yoga pose that I did many years ago that, you know, my body doesn't move that way. And I felt it, and I got the really bad, bad pain down my leg. I could not lift my leg off. My front of my foot would not lift off the ground. If I lifted it up, I would just fall right back down again. It was like my foot wasn't operating properly, and it was like my whole foot was full of, like, ice cubes. You know, I was, like, standing on crushed ice. It was the worst experience. So I worked on healing with crystals, and I ran energy up and down my legs. And you won't even believe this. I had my socks on, and this shoe. I've been walking around all day in this special kind of, you know, just slipper shoe. And all of a sudden, I thought, God, I've got stones in my shoe. You know, like I'd had sand, or I used to garden, so I always got dirt in my shoes. You know, like I had pulled off my socks. And as I pulled it out, I had about 30 little baby crystals in my hand. And
wow.
I don't know what they are. I've been meaning to have them analyzed. They're about the size of tapioca. And
so wait. Why have them analyzed? Why not go within?
Yeah, no, I believe that they're crystals, but I want to see what made my foot make these crystals. I mean, like,
yeah. I see the magic right now is, I mean, Kimberly, what do you think about all this?
Sorry, Kimberly, I know it's your show and I'll let you go, and George, but I think
George is great. Tricia, thank you so much for calling in. I so appreciate hearing from you. And
Don't go away yet. Please don't go away. Okay, so basically you're saying that you felt the stones, and then you realized that something had physically manifested, and they are little crystals.
Yes, about 30 of them.
I think that's fabulous. So therefore, it's what it is that it is showing you your power of manifestation, and that's one of the things that we're moving into as we're tipping between third and fourth dimension and moving into fifth dimension, because as we move into fifth dimension, which is what ascension is all about, we are manifestors. And so you manifested.
Out of thin air, no less.
Honestly, Kimberly, I could tell you stories of things that are just like miracles, you know.
Good, and that's what we're doing. And those are good stories. Tell us one, besides the crystal in your shoe.
I love you, Kim. I love it.
I had 5 of these in a row that happened when I came to America the first week, and I won't go into the whole 5 because they were just like one after another. But I met a man in America, in Australia, that I fell in love with, that honestly, the biggest rock star in America, believe it or not. I was cute then. But all I had was his management address, and he said to me, if you come to LA, call, you know, come and see me, give me a call. And we did speak on the phone during this year. I did nothing but think about coming to America and being with this guy and seeing this guy. I met a guy in the plane that I just had to meet, you know, like at the airport in Hawaii. He was just standing there looking. We became friends. We ended up coming to LA on the same plane, and his friend picked us up, took me to this house. I walked out, looked at this whole valley up in Mulholland Drive in LA, and I just thought, oh, my God, I love this place. And then after that, I actually bunny hopped to a restaurant where I was talking to Hawaii. I want to see my girlfriend in Hawaii. Damn, I don't have her address. How stupid that I didn't bring it. Went to a Hawaiian restaurant in LA the first night. She walks in. Boom. I go skiing in this town the next day, 2 days later. Boom. I walk in there and I go, what are you doing, Louise? She said, what are you doing in this restaurant? A girlfriend of mine. I wanted to meet her in Bali. And I was in the Philippines, and I couldn't go to Bali. They wouldn't change the ticket. Went to Australia, and that was the only reason I met this rock star. Was it that true, me being in Australia, that very moment, meeting a friend of mine that said, come to the concert. You know, my best friend was on a flight. Boom. Now, when I came to L.A., I came back after skiing. The guy picked me up from the airport and said, you can stay in this house we went to because the owner's gone away, and this girl's living there. She's staying there, and, you know, you've got to, and I went, wow, 3 weeks of a house free, you know, it's like a little mansion up in the hills. We went for a walk that night, sat on a fence. She wanted to break in. She thought there were horses in this property. It was like a corral gate up on Mulholland. And I said, God, you silly, I'm going to get arrested. This is like someone's property. He picked me up about 2 weeks later and drove me to his house, and that was his property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, a lot of synchronicity, huh?
Oh, but there were 4 others that happened in the last 2 days before that as well that were, like, even weirder. Yeah, but it was, like, bizarre that I would sit on his fence. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like when spirit wants you to be somewhere or you're supposed to be somewhere.
That's exactly the point.
You listen to intuition. I have always been fearless. I never worry. I just get on a plane if I have to go there. Don't worry, something's going to work out, and everything just lines up. You know, I went off track.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually go one step further to help all the people that do worry. You can't miss what you're supposed to do. When your soul wants you to be somewhere, it's our soul that's creating us. We are not the manifestation of us. Our soul, from a much higher point of view, is the manifestation of us. I mean, is the creator of us. So when our soul wants us to get somewhere, you know, once I'm learning that I'm getting there, whether I like it or not, in some manner, it can alleviate the worry, or I'm going to alleviate the worry for everyone. You can worry, and you're still going to get there because your soul has so much pull over what you do and do not do.
I agree.
It has all the pull.
You guys will love this. You will absolutely love this. I haven't published it yet, but I wrote it a few weeks ago. I call it When You're in Line, when you're totally in sync with nature, when you get back into that heartbeat of everything, like George was talking, and it's all native, it's all Indian, it's, you know, it's the
Well, it's natural. It's just natural.
Yeah, yeah. When you get back into that total vibration, you hear the birds and you go, oh, yeah, I wonder who he's talking to. You know, you're right in that energy. You're only 1 degree of separation from anything that you ever want. The other 6 degrees are what we go through and struggle because we doubt. We don't live in the fear, and we struggle to keep all of those dots in line to get what we want, the prize at the end. But in reality, we're only 1 degree away. That's what I've figured out.
I hear. And, well, and I agree. Okay, you first, Kimberly. You first.
Yeah, I was just
kind
say,
of
and,
fired up tonight.
And the there's a fine line. When we become conscious of our greatness as creators, and we are conscious of how we create, and we understand how creation happens, that it comes through emotion, and it comes through thought, and it comes through words. I believe that the emotion is probably the most strongest. However, the thought and the words are also very instrumental into creating. And so when we can understand and be conscious of that, that's when it really becomes miraculous. You know, there are things that have been, you know, that have been being created, and our soul has put us there and put us in those situations. But as we have been evolving, we are becoming more conscious all the time. And I don't claim to be fully conscious at this point, because I'm still living in 3D and 4D and 5D, whatever. I'm still bouncing around.
Well, that's very true, though. You are actually living multiply. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the more I'm conscious in every moment of the power that I have of that creation, therefore it becomes even, it becomes amplified, and it manifests really quickly. What do you guys think about that?
You don't dwell on what you don't want, because you know that you either get it or you don't get it.
Right.
But the most important thing that I know for myself is divine timing. You know,
that's,
you've got to
right on.
You,
right
you
on.
Have,
that's what we all
and,
learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But you see, that's the nature spirit. Because you see, everything in nature grows in a cycle, and the seed and you can't plant
it
without the nurture, and
very much a part of it.
Do it in the shade when it needs sun, and you can't. You've got to actually understand what you're planting as well. You just can't throw seeds out there and say, "Well, whatever comes back," because you know you'll just get weeds. So, you know, there's a lot of that, and you've got to let it go, because it does sort of come back in its weird way. And
letting go of the outcome. Putting it out there, but recognizing that it will manifest in its divine timing, because there are certain things that will manifest instantaneously, and there are other things that take a little more time to manifest when they are divinely meant to manifest.
And that's why it's taking more time, not because it takes more time to manifest. It's in divinity.
Correct.
Divinity wants it at that moment instead of the moment I want it.
Right.
or my third dimensional mind wants it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tricia.
Can I tell you one of the things that was like my penny dropping, right, was that what happened was I saw this man on TV once, back in Merv Griffin, and he actually wrote all of the first documentaries on the Ring of Fire in Indonesia. He studied all of the indigenous people, an amazing man, Lawrence Blair. And I saw him, and he was sort of sitting on this chair, and I went, oh, my God, I want to meet a guy like that. He's cool. I'd been to Bali and lived in bamboo huts and stuff. And, you know, boom, the next night I'm standing in this party, and he's right next to me. And I go, oh, my God, you're the guy, da-da-da-da-da.
Wow.
What happened was, and, you know, even like, I'm not going to mention the rock star's name. I'm going to write about it, but I have to talk to him first because he doesn't even know the story.
That's fine.
I couldn't
don't get in trouble.
What was happening at the time. But you can imagine him being in awe of what I call an awe of the rock star, right? And it took me a long time. Even my friend Lawrence with this book, you know, and he was an author and made movies and da-da-da-da-da, and when my penny dropped, that, well, wait a minute, I put all of them together, They didn't put me together.
Mm-hmm.
I manifested them into my life. They didn't manifest me. You know,
right
so
on.
I actually thought, wow, I used to give my power away in awe of these people when it was actually me that was doing all of this magic.
And I know more women that do that, too. That seems to be a very feminine journey.
I think it's maturity and immaturity as well. If, you know, you grow up and you kind of...
I agree with that as well. Those are good words, too. Yes.
Yeah,
listen, Trisha, I do... I love you, sweetheart, but I... I want to make sure Kimberly has time, too.
No, I think it was wonderful listening to you guys, and just mute me because I'm still on Skype. I'm not on Blog Talk anymore.
Outstanding. Okay. No, of course. I will. Go ahead.
I'm a long way from Boston, so I'll be thinking of you.
All right.
Well, you know, He's going to East City.
Yeah, and there's also going to be a Ustream.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ustream of the East City event will be available.
One question about George.
Yes.
I thought the end of, because he's changed his, I listened to him a few years back, right? And
yes.
You were very connected to him, that's what I'm saying. You,
yes.
you knew
yes.
that he was going to be in your part of your journey. You tuned into him the minute you heard him. You know, and I think that's our tribe. We reconnect with our tribes, you know, like.
Yes, I agree.
But, yeah, and we remember. But one of the things, and I didn't get whether he said this or he didn't say it, he refers to this moon as being an artificial moon.
Ah, yes.
And that never resonated with me, and I put something on his wall once, and it's like being silly, like, I don't get that because I'm a female, and
all
I'm
right.
a menstrual woman, and I've menstruated
yep.
on every full moon
yep, but,
and ovulated on new moon. And I'm going, if that's artificial up there, okay, well, wait a minute. And he said something about it being moved, and I thought, well, that interferes with every tide in the ocean. We can't have tides that don't tide because every fish will die. What is his thing with the moon?
Okay.
I mean,
I have been asking a lot of questions.
Okay, Trish, I'm going to mute you now, though. I love you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Yeah.
But Kimberly, please answer. Yes,
okay.
Please answer.
I'm going to address that because I've been asking the same questions, and I don't have the answers. However, I'm going to say, the first thing I'm going to say is that I don't think that necessarily our menstrual cycle was, and menstruation is one of the most pleasurable moments of being a female. You know, I've known people who've gone through, you know, great pain and, you know, and whatnot around that. But I've been asking the same question, and I don't have the answer. So, but I think that in a way, that's been something that has been inflicted upon the feminine, and I'm going to say it's an affliction. As far as the tidal currents, I think that is just a representation of the planet being of feminine, Mother Earth, feminine, and so the same. You know, the same action of push and pull is going on in that aspect. I still am really wondering about the concept of the moon being manufactured versus organic. And there's a part of me that actually resonates with that, and that there's a lot more going on off-planet than we have been given information about as far as our history books, and more information comes to me time out, not just from, I mean, George is just like one piece. I've had so many experiences and so much information that shows up for me that, and he's not the only one who has that perception of it. Ultimately, though, I will say this, and then I'm going to finish this, is that whatever it is, it is what it is. And
right.
I have no judgment about it. And it's been in play, and it is what it is. And we've experienced what we co-created to experience. and whether the moon is a real, you know, an organic figure or a man-made figure, quite frankly, when it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter because it is what it is.
Okay, the only thing I'd like to add, and that was very beautifully stated, because what I'm getting from the George information is essentially that I don't claim to know, you know, how our tides work if the moon is you know, a ship from Pleiadian. But
right.
What I do know is the information that George is bringing in, which for me feels it's my truth. His truth is my truth. And it's not because I'm guruing him. It's a sensation in my physical being that's mm-hmm. it just flows in and it lights up my cells and I can feel this as my truth. And because of that, I'm really getting to the space that I am opening up to the absolute unbelievable being true. I mean, it's like there's so many programs running in my brain about, you know, I mean, George states that there's a million people already on Mars, and the secret government has been basically bringing people to Mars since, you know, I guess in one of the interviews it was like since the 1940s he believed they started doing that. So with all of this going on behind the scenes, like Mars, like the moon being unreal, like the manipulation factor, what I would suggest the entire listening audience to do is be open, because the system itself, our physical bodies, if when certain things start becoming into our awareness, if we haven't prepared our bodies through being open to truths that are just absolutely beyond what we ever thought could be true, we're going to fry. It's a frequency that it will harm us. So, you know, when they say that, you know, God is experienced through the eyes of a child, you know, a child has nothing built in stone. It's open to the world it comes into, to being, to what the truths are, you know. Yeah, and so be open. Be open and feel your way through. I mean, even George will say that. This is a journey, and his information is a resonant sensation. It's a feeling. It's not even an emotion. I'm not emotionally tied to George's messages. I sensorially feel in my cells what he says to be truth. And I can't, and again, my mind can't wrap around half this stuff. I don't know what to do with it, so I just let my body do with the truth as it will. And, you know, it's created confidence in my world.
And I'm going to concur, because I'm in a position where I've had the opportunity to speak to hundreds of conscious thought leaders, and I've also had, because of what I do, you know, as a reporter, as a journalist, you know, just so many perspectives come to me, and I'm actually open to all possibilities. And actually, nothing shocks me. There are dark. I mean, I just read a book. I don't want to go off on this right now, but I just read a 500-page book by Sean David Martin. It's called Sands of Time, and it's a story about a gentleman who was one of the top black ops operations. And I don't want to go off really now, but it's actually really strong on my mind.
Trust that. Somebody needs to hear it then. Yes.
Okay.
Go.
And a lot of the things that I read, I had already heard of before. But there were other aspects that I hadn't heard of before. And there was darkness. And there was light. But the darkness, even though some of the people in the story, they were like horrified by the darkness, I have to say, I'm not horrified by the darkness. I recognize that dark is part of the makeup. And it fascinates me, and it's like, holy moly, this is like beyond anything I would have ever dreamed up or known about or whatever. And I'm just open and understand that there are there are infinite possibilities. And so that's part of the ascension process, and I agree with what I'm going back to what you were just saying, is that it's not about judging it, it's just about observing it.
Excellent.
And some of it can just like be, wow, it's like, you've got to be
wild.
Kidding me.
exactly.
You know, it's like, but okay.
Right.
All
right. Right.
If that's truth, if that's true, okay, then it is what it is again. I mean, it is what it is. But ultimately,
right.
the bottom line is that me, myself, and I, and you, yourself, and you, we each get to choose.
Yeah.
We want to be of peace, or whether we want to be living in love, or we want to be living in fear, and so some of the things that I was reading could take me to fear, but to me it was like, wow, that is so fascinating, and ultimately I have made a personal choice. That's who I am, what I am, what I put out. Is that, you know, I'm a peacemaker and I'm a lovemaker and I'm not perfect. I mean, although I am perfect and you're perfect and we're all perfect, actually. However,
perfectly imperfect, yes. I agree with that as well.
and we are forever evolving, and there's so much that we are not aware of. Having come through this veil of forgetting into this planet that is in the 3D and the 4D, and it's just part of the ride.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, and I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, it's an important aspect, too, of we all didn't come into this planet at the same time.
Right.
So like we were saying earlier, there are, if you're if the journey for a particular person is still to be in the duality, you know, you could have a conversation with them and they're going to call you blasphemous for saying there's such
That's
thing
right.
as aliens. There, and simply because, you know, George speaks about it, the graduation from this planet and the veils that go with this planet is bringing on the most challenging of challenges you could possibly have.
Yeah.
And working through them, because once we graduate from this dimension or from this experience, I don't think it's necessarily this dimension, but once we graduate into the fifth dimension, that's when, you know, then we put on the creator cap, where we're going to go out and do universes, and we're going to be, quote unquote, the god of that universe. I mean, we're going to have planets, and we're going to have organisms on those planets, and we're going to be in charge. In the sense of, just like Gaia is in charge of planet Earth, we'll be that. So
I agree with that.
You know,
and the sun, you know, the sun is even a higher aspect than planet Earth.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Because stars are a more expanded experience than a planet. It's less dense. It's more light. It's less dense. So
right, and so you know, was something that I had this infinity around a few years ago. It was like, oh my gosh! And this is before George. This has nothing to do with George. Just my own knowing. It's like, oh my gosh, the Earth. I mean, I already understood the whole microcosm or the whole organism of the Earth, and it's all interrelated and whatever. And I got that. And then it was like, oh my gosh! And then there's the sun, which is even, as you said, lighter, literally.
Exactly.
And you know, and that's what that's what I'm evolving to too.
Right.
No.
Right. Well, I remember looking out, and I can't wait to talk to George about this. I can remember watching one of the space programs. I've always been interested in, like, the universe or going through the wormhole, all those science programs. I remember thinking to myself, once I heard, you know, macrocosm, microcosm, and got an understanding that, you know, the stars that we see are actually inside of us. So, and this is before George. So I kind of put the connection together. If everything outside is inside of me, what is it that a being would be experiencing when a star goes supernova?
Mm-hmm.
And I got the answer from within or from Earth, and it was, it's a self-actualized being. That's like Maslow's the top of the pyramid, self-actualization.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, wow, because I remember from that point forward, I said, okay, that's my new goal then. My new goal is to become, is to go supernova.
Yes.
And then I meet George, who says, we're already universes, we're already planets. And I'm going, wow, you know, therefore I really am going to go supernova. You know, it's like, it's so funny when, you know, you kind of get a concept in your belief system. And then, you know, somebody comes who's had, you know, a much more expanded dimensional recall and tells you, yeah, you are planets and you are star systems and you are galaxies. And, you know, that means it's absolutely, the potential is there for me to do so supernova. I don't know. It just seemed, it was a confirmation that, you know, just growing in belief, you know, and that's what I think George is bringing to us, the potential to grow in belief. And if it's in divine timing, because that's also very much a part of this, because if it's not in divine timing to graduate from this experience, then it's in divine timing to potentially, you know, to create Merkabas through mental constructions. That's, there's nothing wrong with that. And I know from my own experience, I have been through dark. I mean, I have. I have. And you know, I was laughing because he's had darkness from multi-dimensions. It only took the third dimension to kick my ass, and that's very literal. But at least in my recall of the third dimension kicking my ass, I've learned from it, you know, because I just want to share real quick that, you know, when I was 15, I snuck out of the house with two of my girlfriends. We met one of her boyfriends. There was five people, the boyfriend, another guy, and three other girls. They were all tripping on, I don't know, mescaline or ecstasy, whatever the hell it was. They were tripping, and they beat the shit out of me. I mean, the five of them just did a gangbang on me, beat me up. My two friends left me in the middle of the road.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was horrendous. I mean, it was when George talks about being tortured,
mm-hmm.
I go to that moment going, you know, they were kicking me and punching me. I had broken ribs and frostbite. And the interesting thing about at the time when that was happening, all I kept thinking was, I just curled up into the fetal position and went, please stop, please stop. And then you kind of, the pain becomes so much, it becomes an outer body experience on some level. You just, you go numb. And when they finally stopped, you know, I crawled down. It just so happened I was at the top of the hill of a hospital. How appropriate. So I thawed out in the hospital bathroom. One of my brother's friends came and picked me up. I went back home. And here's the funny part. One of the girls that, not the one whose boyfriend it was, the other girl, who had left me to get my ass kicked, was hiding in my closet in my house. I really hung out with some really interesting folks when I was 15. And I looked at her and I went, now you expect to stay here? You just left me? Get out. You just got to go. You know, Goldie's only got so much compassion in her. I just couldn't believe she was in my house. But anyways, so recently, a year ago, I'm liberating a girlfriend of mine from a quote-unquote controlling relationship, which, by the way, I was controlling her to liberate her. I learned that the hard way. But at one point, as I'm liberating her from this negative boyfriend, there's 13 cars chasing me to get her out of my car. And what I learned, and this is what George teaches, this time, I mean, absolutely the time when I was 15 popped back into my head and I went, this time you will not lay a hand on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove on the wrong side of the road in second gear. In all honesty, Kimberly, there was some sort of dimensional shifting going on because I was going through stone walls. I was going through garbage pails, you know, with no harm to me or the car or a lawn. You know, it was bizarre how untouched we were, and it all came from the my I Am presence dropped
right.
into my body and went, get to the cops now. Period. I mean, I ran it in my head. I will not stop until the cops are surrounding me. I will not stop until the cops are surrounding me. 911 goes, pull over. I'm driving with one hand, screaming on the phone, going, pull over? Like, what part of me being chased by 13 cars don't you understand? And trust me, I was using four-letter words all over the place. I was like, you find me going down Chestnut Hill. I'll be the gold echo on the wrong side of the road. Find me. And we actually found a cop that was in a gas station, and then all the cops that were trying to find me ended up coming up to this gas station. But it was like the whole key of that story was this time I said I did not lay down and go into the fetal position. Because, see, I think what the dark teaches us is how you can't believe how strong we are in essence when we choose to be strong. And the only thing that can kind of bring that out sometimes is, you know, when we've had our asses kicked and handed to us the time before. Because you just simply go, no, not this time. It's just not. Or if it's going to be this time, I kept saying, if we're going to die on this drive, well, so be it. I mean, that was another thing. I surrendered death.
Right.
Because it wasn't going to be me laying down in the fetal position. And it's funny because Alana, you know, thanked me when we finally stopped. And she was like, they would have done something really bad to you, and I don't know if I would have ever seen the light of day again. You know, they might have just taken me somewhere and not brought me back. And I was like, well, yeah, not today, Alana. Today, we survive. But it's really important for the listeners to know that, and this is what I want people to take away from at least my experiences, and if you're listening to George, this is what I take away from George, is that it's in us. This protection that we think we're getting from outside sources, no, that's in us.
Mm-hmm.
And this power of a presence, when the I Am presence drops into your body, it will literally, if there's any unconsciousness within your field, it will become conscious. You cannot have rage in your I Am presence because rage is an unconscious experience and the I Am is pure consciousness. It's pure awareness.
And it's also differentiating and being conscious of the difference between lower vibrating energy and higher vibrating energy, and higher vibrating energy, lighter vibrating energy versus darker vibrating energy is always stronger. The light always shines on the dark. And it's,
well,
it's,
when you know that, though, but you gotta utilize that knowing. You know, I agree with you, but how many people give their power away?
It's part of the process.
Exactly. Right on. Exactly. So that's what the dark kind of does. The dark shows you want to give your power away because this is what it feels like. But the only reason why it's feeling like that is because we're giving our power away,
right.
Not because the dark is more powerful. It's just. We're choosing to experience
powerful.
That.
No, it's not more powerful.
Exactly.
The
it's
light
not.
Is actually more powerful.
Right.
But that's a
right.
matter of choice and a matter of evolution and a matter of understanding,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that in each moment we have the choice of where we go. And so if I find right. myself unconsciously reacting to something in an anger emotion at this point in my life, it's almost instantaneous, like, you know, within seconds that I recognize, wait a minute, you just unconsciously reacted in a lower vibrating state of anger. I don't judge it. I don't condemn it. I embrace it. And I say, wait a minute, that's not where I want to be.
Right, right. But, you know, I do think it's important to express anger as opposed to holding it in.
I'm saying that. I just said to embrace
right.
it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, embrace
I think
it
we can
and say, oh, look, anger. Wow,
yeah.
How cool. Where did that come from?
Well, I don't even do that. I'm fired. When I get fired up and I'm pissed off, you know, I thought about this the other day. I enjoy being that fired up. I mean, it is passionate to be that fired. And, you know, boy, I have had some drag-out, knock-down, screaming matches with almost every boyfriend I've ever had. my parents were always big on you're allowed to speak your truth, and we didn't have any physical violence. So when my parents screamed at us, we screamed right back. And
yeah.
I mean, to this day in our house, people come over that are very, you know, sound sensitive. I'm like, you know, when my brother and my father are around, oh, my God. I mean, and when my mom was alive, we're screamers. I mean, but yeah. There's something, too, you know, anger is an essential part of saying, listen, I don't like what's happening, and I'm going to express that. I think we have the right to express, but we don't have the right to blame. That's, you know, you can scream that you're angry and want change and create the change, however that change. Like you know, if someone's cheating on you, I'm just going to use a random thought. Let's say someone's cheating. I'm going to say, boy, that pisses me off. Now, I'm not going to say, you got to stop cheating. I'm now going to say, all right, I'm pissed. I'm going to leave.
Right. You get the choice of how you deal with it.
I'll change. You don't have to change, but you're gonna feel my anger because I'm pissed off. You screwed up a great thing, and you know now it's got to change. Damn it, I'm pissed off about that. Well, but there are a lot of women that are afraid to get angry. Like it's not ladylike to get angry. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's when you start seeing the tumors and the cancers, because it's the anger eating themselves up.
Yeah, right. But I'm just going to throw in, just real quickly, I feel like I need to do this, is that, okay. You were sharing your experience of your friends beating you up when you were a teenager. Well, see, I had a different experience. My mother started beating me when I was 3 years old. Okay.
Wow.
So when you're 3 years old, you don't have the same, it's not the same.
It's a different journey.
Journey.
Indeed.
And so for me, my beating up happened really early when I didn't have any concept of my power and I was still innocent and da-da-da-da-da. And
okay.
So, but that was part of my journey to help me, you know, be in my power when I was a teenager. I came into my power when I was a teenager. So for me, when I was 14 and my mother told me to pull down my pants and she was going to, you know, spank me with the spatula that she'd been doing for 14 years, and I realized I'm the same, I'm powerful now, and I can say no. You know, and
right.
So I came into my power when I was a teenager. But you know, but that was just my path. And it was like,
yeah.
No, you can't do this to me. It's like, no. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, no.
We're done with that, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm done with this, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so we all come to it at different times and different paths and different places.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, but ultimately, you know, it's all as powerful, no matter what it is. And that, but that's the message too: is that if we were all at this point in 3D and in 4D, if we were all at the same place at the same time, that would be really boring.
Yeah. I don't think it's not the way that there's too many, literally gazillion, bazillion, dazillion beings out there.
Right. And,
you know, we think 7 billion's a lot. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that these science shows show me, and George is helping me to become aware of, there are billions upon trillions of galaxies. And do you think, I guess we are the only Earth.
No, let's say the concept of multiple universes, not just multiple galaxies.
Multiple universes.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, there's just so many beings, you know, that of course there's going to be uniqueness, and that's the thing. I mean, think about the creativity level that every single being's journey is unique to unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like equating with, you know, that there's a journey for every grain of sand on every beach across on the entire planet. It's like the
and
levels of creativity. Every snowflake, you know, I've sat in winter wonderlands, and you know, every snowflake is different, and yet
that's
it's from, you know, Virginia to, you don't believe that?
I mean, it's like, I actually do believe it, but that's really, you know, just like every grain of sand, every snowflake, and so you know, there have been way more snowflakes on this planet than people.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's like the level of creativity that really exists, let alone what's being potentiated. I mean, it's just, I can't wrap my mind around it, but because I have that kind of as like a, you know, almost like a, it's a seed in me, you know, so when I'm introduced to messengers like George, you can start opening up and going, you know, okay, you know, let's not have truth be, you know, seven snowflakes.
Right.
Let's dig from the true treasure chest of, boy, this could all be true. And
right.
And for
That's
me,
what, I'm,
it
I'm right
is.
There with you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and
it's like science supporting it.
The horrors and the delights.
Yes.
Both sides.
Yes. Yeah, because I think, you know, we chose to come to planet Earth. We chose to be in duality. We chose to experience our light and our dark. You know, I have done, you know, drugs that have taken me to the... In my humble opinion, at least in this lifetime, the most separated I've ever been from my spirit was when I was smoking base cocaine. And it's like when you're that separated from the actual essential forces that create life in your physical body, it gets really, really dark. I mean, everything. Life, I mean, I had tinfoil on my windows and... I didn't leave my apartment for 3 months. And on top of all of it, I have a woman who's my roommate who's doing just as many drugs as I am and utilizing all the money we're making from dealing. And she goes single white female on me, where she eventually wants my life and wants me dead. So this is why I understand when George says, bring the best competitor to the situation, because... When I was at my absolute lowest, I had a woman who I was living with that was throwing my house keys in the garbage pail, taking my rent, which was all cash because it was drug money, putting it into her bank account, not paying the landlord. You know, I wasn't doing, I was the immature one that made the money, so to speak, but she was the one in charge of paying the bills and all that stuff, and she was manipulating me all over the place. I mean, and to my mom's credit, I really need to say this. My mom came when I was living in that apartment and said, "You're coming home with me, young lady." I was a mess. I was like down to like 90 pounds. I was being driven mad intentionally. She was hooking up with my boyfriend, who was also my dealer, and they were conspiring literally so I would kill myself. That was the conspiracy. And I could feel it, you know, I could feel when the whole house was kind of against me. And I kept saying to myself, I'm going to beat them. And when I told my mother, she was basically like, you're going to beat them by living a great life. You're not going to beat them by battling the dark with them. You're not. Surrender. And I mean, those words were truly, truly wise. And
yep,
because...
Yeah.
Just what you were saying, you can't beat the dark by outsmarting them. But listen, we are trained to...
You can't beat the dark by participating in the dark.
You can't, especially when most of the people that are dark have a contract. They're good at it, man. They have no consciousness. They don't care about breaking rules.
No integrity,
you know.
So if you're in fear, and if you're in retaliation, and if you're in...
Revenge.
You're participating in the dark.
Well, and you need to. You might need to do that to know that you can't win.
Not that way.
Not that way. I mean, and I just want to say to everybody that I dearly love this woman. She is an absolute. She's a soulmate. I thoroughly expect to see her in my passing on the other side or however, you know, in spirit. Her mind is meticulous and she is brilliant. And the truth be told, she was a master nemesis. And the fact that I'm here to tell this story, and to her credit, I need to say this. This happened to me when
alive.
I was... Well, I'm not only still alive. This happened to me. She played this game with me when I was 22 and 23. When my mom died when I was 36, and I had to leave my house because my father wanted me to heal a certain way, and there was no telling me how to heal. I just had to go through an experience. She put me up in her house. She gave me a room. She goes, rent-free. Live in my house and heal. Do whatever you need to do. You have privacy. I'll leave you alone. Don't worry about bills. Whatever you need to do.
Hmm.
You know, so she's been in my life in point. I mean, she's driven me almost to the point of death, and she's helped me recover once my mom died. So this is the way soulmates often work. You know, we go to the brink of darkness and we go to the brink of light with them because it's part of the journey we agree to. Because to close that, then she kicked me out after 6 months, which was also a great blessing because I was getting really quite lethargic. You know, I didn't know how to move on. And when she kicked me out, within 3 weeks I had an apartment and a new nanny job. So it was a matter of, and I was looking for a job when I was living there, but it just wasn't happening. As soon as she kicked me out, you know, that's that creative force that Tricia was talking about. It demanded that I have something create, and it did. So, you know, I don't quite understand how everything works, but I do know that it's really important to come full circle. I can tell you, when I speak of this woman, and I'm not going to use her name, that's not necessary, but when I speak of this woman, I don't have any clenching in my belly. I love her. I love her for everything that she has brought to my world. And I'm telling you, she brought me greatness because she is great. I mean, even in her deception, she's great. And that's all of us. You know, like...
Well, I'll say same thing about my mother.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
Perfect.
I mean, our greatest nemesises. They're our greatest teachers.
Yep. She was my greatest... She was my greatest nemesis and continues to try to be. But, you know, it's like I have, you know, my story is that I'm, you know, a year ago, after many, many years, I finally said, you know what? I don't want to talk to you. I didn't say I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to you. And I love you. I thank you. I you know, which I've said many, 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 many times.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that you brought me into this world, and you were the catalyst that you've been. But you know what? I just don't really want to talk to you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
You know, and so, you know, like I said, I had my nemesis earlier in my life.
Right, right.
Yeah. And
well, you know, I mean, I had other nemesis because I was molested when I was three. So, I mean, I also,
mm-hmm.
I got a whole, you know, distorted sexual virus shit going on. I mean,
don't you agree that you put that there to help you to become who you are now?
Absolutely. And in fact, I want to share this one thing. When I was
grateful for it, too.
Oh, hell yeah. There's nothing that I have experienced that I regret. Nothing.
Yeah, not at this point.
Nothing.
I have no regrets. I don't have any regrets either.
Because I remember when I was, I'm the only one in my family. Every single person in my family has experienced sexual molestation. My mother, my father, me, and my brother.
Mm.
And not with my parents. That was not where it came. My parents experienced it on their own. Me and my brother experienced it from... other family members outside of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one in my family that ever went to therapy, but I do want to share that I went to hypnotherapy once, and the woman straightened up my horror line. It used to cut me across my belly, so I would always feel... I used to have this thing I called cupping, where I would have a visual of my body, my legs... coming up towards my face, kind of like you know, in a sandwich, and I would fall into a golf tee, you know, a cup where you go golfing, and I would have the sensation of being lower than dirt. And in under hypnosis, she straightened up my horror line, which is the pranic tube that runs through our being, And when she straightened up my tube, I literally saw in my experience my ancestors, I saw it go backwards and forwards, and I knew instantly she had healed everyone in my family that had been molested or sexually abused. Or there literally was a timeline heal.
Yeah.
From that experience. And
I had a similar experience, actually, just recently, a couple months ago. But anyway, go ahead.
No. Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
Because that's why I think, well, the reason why, so I think some of us are many of us that go through
mm-hmm.
these experiences
mm-hmm.
are actually here to heal our timelines.
Yes.
You know, because we're built to heal it. Yeah. Yeah. Share if you're open, share your experience.
It was just actually a couple months ago, and I've shared this story a couple times recently, and I never shared it before.
Oh, wow.
But I had a dream, and my dream was that I saw a picture of myself and my mother and her mother. And my mother was my nemesis, and my grandmother was my saving grace, loved me unconditionally. Which was so
okay.
bizarre. The duality of that was just always bizarre to me.
Okay.
Anyway, so I had this dream where there was a photograph of me as maybe 6 years old and my mother and her mother. And they were photographs because I typically have video dreams. I don't have photograph dreams. And then there was
okay.
a photograph of my grandmother's mother, which I have seen pictures of her and her mother. And then it kept going back. And there were these other women who I'd actually never seen before.
Okay.
And ultimately the message was, it was thank you for healing this lineage.
Wow. Nice.
That was the dream.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, doesn't that one moment make it all worthwhile?
Yeah, it's the same message. Yeah, and I wake up and it's like, I've never had a dream where I was like, they were like still photographs. They weren't videos. It was like, it wasn't metaphorical. It was like matriarchal photographs, whether they
the
had photographs.
Feminine.
You know, feminine, yep. The whole thing.
Yeah.
It was so powerful. And
that's
the
awesome.
Message was clear because I get these like little short, succinct messages often. And it was like,
okay.
thank you. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. That was...
It's Miller time.
Yeah. And so I've had that conversation with several
awesome.
Women over the last couple of months. And,
okay.
you know, it's like, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that's what, you know, because I guess I can't guarantee that what you're going through is to heal a timeline, but I can guarantee you, if you're healing doesn't just take place in you. There is absolutely a connection to, so exactly. If you're willing to do the healing, because personally, the 2 years that I was doing hypnotherapy, I mean, I found out my totem was a hawk. I found out we played with some past life regression stuff. I mean, It was such a journey that was so fascinating. I mean, therapy in general is, you know, it's a place, it's a time and a place where you go and you get to talk all about you, you know what I mean, yourself. It's like, what a fabulous concept, you know, where, you know, if one of your situations is feeling unheard in the world, boy, do some therapy. You know, there's a great sense of, you know, giving yourself a voice. And
but ultimately,
you know, I mean,
I think that if you're able to do your own therapy, that's actually the best.
Well, and I think it was almost like what Tricia was saying, that's the journey. You know, it's almost like it's the yellow brick road. We use all these tools and we grab these teachers and we do it, you know, whether it's right or wrong or of the highest of the lowest, in order to come up to the balloon where, you know, the wizard's out from behind the veil and says, listen, all you had to do was click your heels and you would have got there. But, you know, but you wouldn't have believed me. You know, the planet certainly has a structure around it that doesn't really support, or at least it hasn't, you know, in our current time, that structure and those fences are clearly they're breaking down. So I would imagine generations, you know, the children who are on the planet now might very well not use the tools that we've used. And, you know, because the ascension that is happening now is just so undeniable that I can't imagine us doing things the same way. We're not the same beings. We are changing biologically, genetically, environmentally, ecologically. You know what I mean? Everything is changing. So, you know, it's almost like I was running through my head today, you know, when Yoda was teaching Luke Skywalker.
Wow,
he
yeah.
initially, remember, we talked about this the other night, when it's like we got to learn to forget everything we've ever been taught so we can remember that which is appropriate to utilize. And because
yep.
this, it's a whole new ball game out there now, you know, folks. you know, it's like, and I know many people, and I'm wondering, you know, like with Tricia, I mean, those fascinating stories of the synchronicity, you know, and all her magic. But, you know, at this point, life is different. It might come from a different, you know, it's like, because people who felt connected to spirit prior to the last 5 years are now saying, you know, he used to be, you know, I would connect to spirit, you know, by taking a few deep breaths and it was there. And I hear a lot of people saying, now I don't feel it so much. Like, I don't know where I'm supposed to connect to spirit. And I'm like, well, it's just a different way. You know,
mm-hmm.
you kind of got to go back to the eyes of the child and let it just happen. And you'll, you know, instead of trying to force it the way it was happening, well, now it's a different way. And, you know, for me, I never really connected to spirit. Animals, though. Animals as a kid and the forest since my mom
right.
died. I mean, it has always been nature that has kind of embraced me, because my biggest gig and my biggest fears have always been around people. I mean, I don't fear
right.
natural disasters, you know. And I was bit by a dog in my face when I was 13. And, you know, to this day, it's like, am I afraid of dogs? Absolutely not. You know, because the truth was, the dog was abused by my best friend's family, and, well, shocker on that. And so I don't blame the dog at all. I mean, the dog bit me. I mean, I'm clear on that, but I'm not, you know, afraid to. I shouldn't.
Yeah,
I'm conscious of what I do around
dogs, and I love dogs, so it's like, no.
Yeah, I love dogs too. You know, it's right.
I recognize
it's simple.
The circumstances, yeah.
Yeah, a dog is conditioned. You know, when you see these pit bulls, the poor pit bull, a pit bull could be a very loving creature if it's raised in a loving environment, just like a human being can be a loving creature if it's raised in a loving environment. But the truth is, our environment is basically, you know, being manipulated so that it's not a loving environment. You know, it's like if you're unconscious, you're being manipulated, and if you're being manipulated, you know, energies aren't happening organically. Everything is, you know, I don't know, icky. Right, let's move on. Goldie's reached a brick wall. It's like, okay, I think you're done with this conversation, Goldie. Are you okay moving on to a new topic?
Yeah, I think we only have, like, what, less than 10 minutes left here?
Oh, shucks, gosh. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I haven't even, my computer actually went blank. It went dark. Okay, all right, let's promote
occupational
George.
Hazard. I pay attention to that. I've been doing that for 35 years.
Yeah, well, I'll get the 90-second lady, and then I'll go, okay, well, we'll just go 5 minutes over because I'm nowhere prepared. But the people that are listening online, it will end the stream. So, okay, George is going to be at East SETI on August 13th and 14th.
Correct. And
you can,
they are also offering a live stream event, which I believe is like $49 or $39.
No, 24.
$24
per
okay.
day. Per day. And listen,
oh.
that stream will be close to 8 to 10 hours
yeah.
long.
Yeah.
It is George's entire scoop. He's going to be talking about the Vatican. I'm telling you, I was going to do the stream, but because I'm going to see him in Boston, I'm afraid if I do the stream, the information I get in Boston is not going to feel so new and fresh, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But $24 for 8 to 10 hours worth of information, that's, you know. Now, the only question is, where do they find that? Do they find that on the
Go
the,
to
Our Journey Home?
OurJourneyHomeUSA.com. and you'll find links up at the top for the eSETI event and how to register for that. That's there. Yeah. And
okay, so that's August 13th and 14th. And
correct.
Then he's at Chicago.
The 20th and the 21st. And
okay.
Then Boston the 27th and 28th of August. And
okay.
I will tell you, we're not publicizing this yet, but I'm going to be videotaping that event.
Okay.
And so we will have the audio and video of that available after the event, not during the event. We're not going to live stream it, but it will be available after the event. And so that probably won't be available until September.
A few days afterwards, just to produce it.
It's going to take a few days to get it together.
Outstanding.
So,
thank you,
so not, yeah, not publicizing that yet. I mean, it's not a secret, but...
Right. It's just not on the website yet. Right.
Yeah, right. And so, and quite frankly, I haven't been in physical contact with George, which I won't be until, like, the 18th or 19th of this month. And so we're going to talk about the details of that because he does have another DVD that he produced that's available. And
yep,
so
now that's for $49.
Okay. Yes. That's where that number came from. Right.
Yep.
But ultimately, I just want to remind everyone that, you know, George has been on his tour, and I don't kind of think he's going to be doing it again. You know, it's a one-time thing.
Right.
And it's just about paying expenses for travel and venues and, you know, a little extra change in the pocket because, obviously, you know, we all need our storefronts. And, you know, I've been helping promote this event, and I'm not putting any money in my pocket, and Rob's not putting any money in his pocket. And that's not what it's about.
Yeah, this is pertinent information. I mean, this really is pertinent. And also, one more date, September 28th, George will be on another reality show. Yay! September 28th. Not August, my bad. September 28th.
Okay.
Yes. So after, when he's back home.
Okay.
Yes.
And... So,
now, also share your radio shows and how people can find to hear Kimberly. Kimberly Yeager.
I think the best way to find me is the name of my show is Living in the Now. And if you type in Living in the Now in Google, Blog Talk Radio or Living in the Now, my name is spelled Kimberley. I think you'll find it pretty easily because it's been there for about 2.5 years. And
yeah, I have a link to it, I believe, in the episode page, too.
Okay, thanks. And
there
is one last thing that I did want to promote.
Please.
Are you familiar with Carl Kalman?
Yes.
The ninth wave
the Mayan.
That we are in.
Yes.
The Mayan calendar expert. Okay, so this is another thing that I'm putting out there, is the website is to go to TheEmergenceProject.net, and Carl Kalman is going to be doing 3 teleconferences this Sunday, August 7th, and then another one on Sunday, September 4th, and another one on Sunday, October 9th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you sign up for all 3 of those dates, it's only $28.
Right on, sister.
For each individual date, it's $13. There will be recordings, so you don't have to necessarily listen live. He's going to speak for about an hour. And remember, as far as the ninth wave is concerned, his calculations are saying that, you know, we've gone through the whole ninth wave by October 28th. So these 3-month updates... this Sunday and then a month from Sunday and 2 months from Sunday are going to be his chance to put out his knowledge that I actually resonate with really strongly.
Well, and it's updates in real time, you know,
right.
because it's the last 3 months he is actually
That's
updating
right.
every, exactly. That's
right.
powerful. In fact, I'm thinking I'm gonna listen to them, and then I'm gonna have you back on the show, and we're gonna, you know, let's do another panel, and,
okay, well,
and Tricia can come on and
yeah, in the timeline, and I'll okay. share this on your show if you want, but
please.
I'm gonna interview him. I didn't have enough time. The person who's promoting this, I don't know, I guess it came up quickly, and she actually is in the Boston area, so she's someone who I've dealt with before. Her name is Annette, and who is one of the co-founders of the Emergence Project. And so I've helped promote some of their events in the past, but this one just came up recently, and so sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be interviewing Carl, and so I'd be glad to share that with you.
Okay.
You know, and... you know, and talking, you know, about currently and, but anyway, to me, it's a really inexpensive event, you know, and I just wanted to put that out there too, the emergenceproject.net is where you can
awesome.
Find, go to their event button or whatever, if
awesome.
That resonates with you.
Well, if I'm going to listen, I'm just going to sign up for one at a time only because I never know what I'm doing, so I don't want to commit. And then, but
well,
I'm in for Sundays, so.
Well, here's what I'm saying, though, is that if you sign up for all three, you'll get the archives of them.
Oh, I see. You
yeah.
don't even, oh. $28 it is. Right on, sister. Thank you for clarifying that because
yeah, yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to be on September 4th.
No,
I could be
I'm
at your house.
Like,
you know
it's like,
mean?
I'm not either.
Yeah.
And
right,
so,
okay, but I support that, and it's important to have, it'll be, or it's not that it's important. It's wonderful to have the support of somebody whose life work is about these times we're in
right
now.
Right.
You know, this is powerful stuff. That's absolutely. I will definitely sign up for all three. Definitely.
So anyway, that's the difference is that if you sign up
okay.
for one,
okay.
but if you sign up for all three, whether you're there real time, I don't.
You get the link anyway. Right.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Right. Awesome. Well, Kimberly Yeager, you are fabulous live as much as you are at 2 o'clock in the morning when we talk to each other. I really appreciate you being here. You're fabulous. Tricia, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes,
mwah, love you, sweetheart. Yeah. And, okay, so what next week, what's today's date? Oh, next week is Peter Stoller, who wrote a book, and he co-authored it with his son, who wrote it from the afterlife.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I read the book, and he acknowledges negative ETs, and
okay.
I was like, wow, yeah, I'm really excited. And it's an interesting grab. So he'll be on next week. Following that week is Third Thursdays now with Janine Kimmel. We're going to do, you know, just some women talking and just talking about our lives and what's going to be happening. Because for me, I used to try to have on Third Thursdays, you know, somebody who was channeling or somebody who was doing Merkabahs or DNA. And I'm starting to realize at this point, I think what we're all resonating with is let's just get together on Thursday night and talk about what's going on in our lives and how we can support each other, you know, just by either listening or sharing or that's it, listening and sharing. You know, that's what it's about. So that's what I'm resonating with. And Janine is fabulous. She's very grounded, very earth conscious, and I love her dearly. So that's for the next couple of weeks. Kimberly, I will speak to you soon because it's always fun talking to you.
Total pleasure.
Thank you.
On the technical aspect, are you aware, because we're already now past the stream, so we're into the archive.
I am, and I'm watching this because this is the first time I've seen it on the new...
And so, on the technical aspect, because I personally have more listeners in the archive than I do live, is that you have an extra hour in the archive, just so you know.
Yes, and those that are still on, like Tricia, I will be using this extra hour to its max when George is on the air. We will do a 3-hour show that night. Yes.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I am very aware of
that.
Live,
yeah. We're going to have to, like, tune back in or call in or something to listen
well,
to the third
right.
hour.
Well, right, if you're on the phone, you won't get disconnected when the
That's
streaming
right.
goes off. If you're on the computer, you will.
Right.
So on the night
right.
of George, I would recommend you call in. And I'm not quite sure how many callers I'm allowed to get it. So it might only be like 25 callers, so
yeah.
He could draw a big show. And if anything, just wait for the last hour to get over with. Within 5 minutes of the show ending, you can always grab the last hour. So
right.
it's
right.
all good. Yeah.
All right.
So thank you very much. And
I
will speak to everybody next week. And remember, 3 days of solar flares have been blasting us, you know. It's going to put
and
us on tilt a little bit, so let's just be conscious of the tilt and take really, really good care of ourselves.
And rest.
All right, I love you guys. And
Thanks.
Rest.
Love you.
Definitely. I love you too, sweetheart.
All right.
All right, I'm going to play my outro, and then I'm outro of this. I love everybody. Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.